Ciao ragazzi, it's Carmen here alongside Serena from the Napoli Club of Toronto, and welcome to the Feed Me the Vesuvio podcast, a show where we talk about all things Napoli, our club, Serie A, and culture in general. So let's sit back, relax, and talk about that. Welcome everyone to today's podcast. Today we have a special guest from the Six Side Calcio and Napoli Club Toronto, Danny. How's it going, Danny?
I'm good. You guys, thank you guys so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Awesome. And Carm, how are you doing, Carmen?
I'm not doing too bad, man. A little bit tired tonight, but, you know, we'll push right through it. By the way, what's up, Danny? It's been a while since we saw each other. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me again. It's an honor being here. It was fun watching the game with you guys. Too bad Napoli couldn't get the result they wanted. But after seeing what Bayern did to Barca, maybe it was kind of like a blessing in disguise that we didn't make it through.
Yeah, well, we already kind of talked about that in the last podcast, that whoever was going to pass that tie was probably going to get massacred by Bayern Munich. I didn't think it was going to be to that extent that we saw. But yeah, we kind of expected it to a certain degree. So let's get right into it. Do we want to recap the Napoli-Barcelona game?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
First? Okay, yeah, we'll do that first. Yep. So we'll start with, you know, whoever just wants to jump in.
Let's go with Danny first. Let's get
the Danny first. So heading into the game, I think we were all kind of confident. I know me and Carmen, we were confident. Driving to your house, Sereno, to watch the game, we were confident that Napoli would have came out with the victory and moved on to play Bayern. But the results show that they did it. And the way Napoli started off the game, I could probably speak for most. I was impressed at the way they played. Defensively, they looked out of shape, especially Koulibaly and Rui. They were just horrible on the first 15 minutes, and they let Messi take over. But the goal that Barca scored, it was a push-off, in my opinion. I would have called it back. But the setup of the corner, it was off of Koulibaly mistake, which I don't know what the hell he was thinking on that point at that part. And again, Lenglet pushed off Dembe into Koulibaly, which should have been called back for a foul. Then second goal was, you can't do nothing about it. That was just Messi being Messi. That was, I think, probably the goal of the tournament, you could say.
Yeah, I think so.
For sure.
Deked out the whole Napoli team, made us look like four pylons at the back. And then the third goal, which, again, is another questionable one. I got into it on the podcast as well, on my podcast, saying that I don't think it could have been called, it should have been a penalty. Koulibaly wasn't even looking at Messi, and he was trying to just kick the ball out. And unlucky that he caught Messi in that situation, which Messi didn't even have control of the ball. So I don't know how you can call that a foul if the player doesn't even have a ball and the other player is trying to kick it out. But then Napoli picked up the pace after that. Insigne got the penalty before the half to give us some spark. But then in the second half, it was a totally different Napoli side. We switched to the 4-2-3-1, and we looked like a different team. Our build-up was a little bit faster. And I think Napoli should go with that formation heading into next season. I think that gives us the best way to attack. Our build-up has to be a little bit faster. The way Napoli was using their build-up in the game was really slow. They kept passing back. It was like they were winning. But when Napoli attacked, they showed that they were like dangerous, and they created a lot of chances as well. It's just unfortunate Milik's goal that he came in was offside. It was a good second half by Napoli. I'm proud of them that they went down with a fight. If it wasn't for the first 15 minutes of the game, and say maybe we conceded that one goal, maybe two, I think Napoli could have potentially tied it. They would have had momentum heading into the second half, but I think three goals early on is just was a big mountain to climb, and which we couldn't climb it. But I'm excited to see what the side can do next year. I think next year that can be a totally different side, and I think they'll be better under a full year on Gattuso.
Yeah, man, I couldn't, like, you took the words right out of my mouth. Everything that you just said, I am 100% in agreement with you. I see eye to eye on that entire recap. Like, a couple things, like, we didn't play bad.
No, I just think the first 15 minutes we were
in the floppy. No, like that's what I was gonna say. No, we didn't play bad in the first. I think we didn't play bad in the first 15 minutes. Within the first 3 minutes of the game, Mertens had
that wonderful chance.
Missed shot. Yeah, we had a wonderful chance. Yeah. But he ate that goal. It was a misfortunate miss on goal. Mm-hmm. But you know, like, it happens. It's football, right? You just gotta put it behind you and keep moving forward. But yeah, ever since that first goal was called,
that changed the game.
Which we can all agree is a foul. That's 100% a foul. I've never not seen that.
I was so convinced when we were watching. I'm like, that's not gonna count. I literally said it. I'm like, there's no way that this counts.
I was in agreement with you. We all looked at each other. We saw the replay. We saw the VAR replay. We all looked at each other and we're like, no, he's got to call that back. There's no way
to go the replay. When that guy had a free header, I saw the. I'm like, they're gonna call this back. That's not a goal. Like, it's impossible.
When I first saw it, and I'm like, okay, when we were looking at the corner, I go, why is Demme on Lingel? It should be Koulibaly. But then I see Demme on the floor. I go, don't tell me he got out-bodied. And then they show the replay, and they were going the far.
That's a two-hand push.
Like, you see, that, a two-hand push. I go, how do you not call that?
Not only that, it was like a two-hand push with a forearm like to his neck. That's a foul. You can't miss that.
He talked to the VAR. Like, what is the VAR saying to him? Maybe it's a foul. Like I don't know. Like, look at it. They took their time with Messi, which I didn't even think that was a penalty. Like, honestly, those two calls killed us. But more than anything, that first goal that off of the corner that was a foul.
Yeah, momentum from us.
Everything, and that allowed Barcelona to get into the game because up until that point, we were playing them into the ground. Like, we were.
Yeah.
So
many chances. We looked like we're playing in the San Paulo, not in the fucking Camp Nou.
Mm-hmm.
They were playing so, so well.
Another thing I wanted to add on to that,
Then that also let Barcelona get into the game. They started to get comfortable, and that turned Messi on, and then Messi went to go score that second goal.
Yeah.
After. Yeah. So, I feel like if we had a more competent, refed game, that we might have came on. I honestly thought that Napoli could have won that game. Like, to be honest.
Me too. Just the way we started in the second half.
Like, we had chances. We create chances, and it's the same old story of like you know, Napoli creating chances but not finishing chances. It's been the whole season like that. So. But you know they did put up a good fight, and something to be proud about. Now it kind of even looks worse like on us, because now Barcelona, after we couldn't beat Barcelona, they go lose 8-2
to Bayern. Yeah,
Bayern. So it kind of makes us look even worse. I was kind of hoping that Barcelona could pull a result off against Bayern, so it didn't make our result look as bad. But I just thought that honestly, like, we were just unlucky that day. So what can you do?
Yeah, well, going back to like when they scored that first goal, another thing that I reflected on after that match was how mentally weak we are, in the sense that they seemed deflated after Longley hit that header and scored that first goal. After that point, they all just seemed sloppy. They stopped moving forward. They gave up. Now,
Michigan 2.0, Carl.
Exactly, Michigan 2.0. Yeah. We said it that day too.
In Michigan, it was a similar thing. They got hard done by. They got the offside goal in Michigan, and then this first goal was clearly a foul that wasn't called. That was missed by the VAR team. So yeah, they mentally, couldn't get over that, I guess, in both of those games. Obviously, the second game being a lot more important in the Champions League,
Here's the thing. The one thing that I did notice, and I'm kind of grateful that we have this man on our team now, is Reno. The one thing that I noticed is that Reno, whatever he said to them at the halftime, worked. He lit a fire under their ass, and they just started. They looked like Danny said. They looked like a completely different side within the span of 15 minutes. By the time they got off the field. From the time they got back on 15 minutes later, They looked like a completely different side. They looked inspired. They looked motivated. They looked hopeful. Like, that's the first time I've ever seen Milik contribute in the final third, holding the play, moving the ball around, finding the space in between defenders, everyone working around him.
The 4-2-3-1 really helped Napoli, and I've been saying that is that's the formation they have to go to.
Yeah,
that's what they're built for. That's the 4-3-3. They're built well for to play 4-3-3-2, but if you want to have that focal point, you know, nine striker, you can't play a false nine and then like have an actual nine. That's a real nine. Like, you need to like have like,
yeah, and I think the 4-3-3 like under like Gattuso, it's completely different because of his play style. And like, if you looked under like when Sarri was coaching, his was more possession and fast attack. Napoli, the way they play, it's really slow. So a 4-3-3 makes no sense unless like we're trying to break out or we're on a counter attack. And like, I think we can all agree that the way Napoli play, it's really slow. And a lot of times, like it's just stupid because they'll be on the break and then they'll pass it back. They'll end up at like Ospina or whoever's in net. And
I mean, it's good that they do play possession. We do have like, I think, the highest possession in Serie A. Like they do the ball a lot. But what are you doing with the possession? Like, you know, you create chances, sure, but
they
like,
don't. They like they rarely do, and when they do, they score.
Are in our half, like, so.
Yeah.
You know, it's a useless. It's a pointless stat. Like, they gotta. Yeah, like what's put like, you know, with Saudi we had possession, but we like were attacking. It seems like Napoli with Gattuso is like just kind of like slow, hold the ball, like, you know, it's more to like make sure you don't concede than it is to like go out and score goals, like the possession, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, which is weird because they don't play in a defensive system.
No,
it really doesn't make sense to play like that if you're playing slow and possession and dropping back. They're not playing much of a defensive system because not playing the attack. They like to play quick ball movement off a counter, mind you, not in the final, in their half. Because when they're in their half, we can all agree, they just stand there.
Yeah. And they just pass at times, so like forward. At times, I think Ospina will have more touches than like Mertens or something.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just crazy.
So
but I think Napoli have to like, I think under with Osimhen coming in now, I think you'll see like a different Napoli side. Maybe like it's the Napoli side you saw like under Sarri when Mertens first took over that striker role. When like the big three were Insigne, Calleone, and Mertens. I think you can see something like that if Napoli can switch to the 4-2-3-1.
You know what you're gonna see? You're gonna see how Napoli was with a Higuain or with a Cavani. That's what Napoli's been missing. As much as Mertens had that great year, and they made like a good like, you know, that triple threat at on the of an attack line with Kaleo, Mertens, and Insigne, Napoli hasn't had the guy. Like, we don't have that killer.
You know, Mertens
was the killer for a little bit, but that's not his role. That's not his natural role. Like, Napoli never really replaced like Higuain. Like Cavani was replaced by Higuain. Higuain was replaced by Milik, but not really. Like, you know, like Napoli hasn't had
Milik
that.
Started off like he could have, but then the ACL killed him. First injury killed him.
Like, Napoli's had a complete team, really and truly. Like, if you look back at when we had Higuain and when we had like Cavani, like we had only attack. Like, we didn't have like a
midfield, like, a defense,
like a whole team like how we have now. Like,
mm-hmm.
Now if, I feel like adding that piece up front, like, you're gonna see like Napoli's gonna be a real threat next year. In my opinion,
I think so too.
But obviously depending on whether Osimhen pans out to be like, you know, the striker that we think that he's going to be. So we got to be, you know, hopeful for that. But anything can happen in football. Obviously, we thought that Lozano was going to, like, you know, be the guy this year too and hasn't panned out as of yet.
He might get sold in the summer, so who knows with the future.
I don't know. I saw that report. I don't believe so. Unless, like, because De Laurentiis is not going to sell a player that's lost value. I don't think so. I don't think that he would go and sell Lozano.
Especially because he's highly invested in him. So I don't think he'll give up on him after 1 year. I think after this year, if he doesn't pan out.
Like, no one's going to buy him for $45 million that, like, that we bought him for, like right now anyways. But say if next year he you know, performs well and you either keep him or you can maybe sell him a little bit. But honestly, I think Lozano is going to be a good player. If Napoli keeps him, it's just he has to – it's a tough season to evaluate. I think you give him another year because with the whole stop and then Ancelotti's system and playing him out of position and then the whole mutiny and then just this whole year was a wash. It was
bad. How
difficult it would be to adapt to a new country, new team, and then all of this, like, you know, background stuff going on. So I would give Lozano another season, but obviously,
yeah, for me, I don't believe all these news now, like he might get sold. Look at the news that came out today that Arsenal asked Napoli permission to go get Gabriel. Napoli said no, and they offered Papadopoulos, whatever his name is. I don't know if you guys saw that. Like, I kind of got an interview with like an Arsenal fan, and then he was really nice about it. But then another guy replied, "Oh, I'm gonna come back to this tweet when Arsenal signed Gabriel and you guys get Papadopoulos, whatever his name is. I think it's Papadopoulos. Socrates Papadopoulos, I think." And I was just laughing. I go, "Who said it?" And I saw it was Perdula. I go, "Okay, yeah, I don't believe it. This guy said Cavani and James were on the boat with De Laurentiis trying to sign a contract, but they were even close to Napoli last year." I don't believe, like someone said best, don't believe anything until De Laurentiis tweets it out saying, welcome to Napoli.
Especially Italian journalists, like they try to, like, you know, it's almost like they're like just swinging with their eyes closed, like trying to like hit it, like hit the ball out of the park.
Yeah,
like, you know, be ahead of everyone. Like they'll just, you know, make up a rumor and maybe it might happen. Like obviously Napoli's looking for a defender, Arsenal's trying to get the same defender, so they could just make up a rumor just based off of that and say, oh yeah, this and this and that. But it might not.
They take the smallest things and they make it big.
Yeah, no. I don't think Napoli and I don't think Arsenal would go to Napoli and ask, like, oh yeah, like step aside, like we'll give you this player. And we don't have the best relationship with Arsenal, like in terms of like
not a chance in hell.
Yeah, no, there's no way. And Arsenal fans really, a lot of them are really, like, really annoy me.
Oh man, like we live in their head rent free, man. Every year it's the same story.
Well, I swear they don't have no scouts.
We beat Napoli to the signing of a player trophy.
But I love where they are now. They celebrate it as if it's like a trophy.
Yeah, they celebrate like they won the fucking.
That's the only thing that they win. That's the only thing they can win.
Wow, we're something else. Literally, I see them tweet, "Oh, we're such a big club because we bully Napoli and their signings." I'm like, that makes you a big club.
Real quick. Who here thinks about Arsenal?
I never think about Arsenal. When I'm trying to find Napoli and I see 20,000 tweets from Arsenal fans tweeting about Napoli and like taking like our targets.
Like, I just laugh because they fake like, oh, Napoli, yeah. Who did they take from us? Torreira. Okay, maybe that's the only good one that they signed. Turney and Pepe, they both didn't pan out. Pepe is a flop.
Nicolas Pepe, they're conducting an internal investigation on if they overpaid for him. You paid for him now.
Don't talk about us. Focus on your team.
What's that guy's name? Kevin Turney, whatever his name is, the left back?
Yeah, Turney.
He's been injured half the year. I didn't even know who he was until Arsenal signed him. I didn't know Napoli were linked with him.
No, we should be happy. We should be happy that
they do take it.
That they save us from these transfers, honestly, really and truly. We should like thank these Arsenal fans and thank Arsenal as a team. We should be sending them a basket.
It gets ridiculous sometimes. Like, I'm just scrolling through Twitter and see all of these Arsenal fans just tweeting at, you know, Zuri fan Phil, Rafa. Me. I'm just seeing these guys tweet at them, and I'm like, I really couldn't care less about your team. Why do you care so much about ours? You do your business, we'll do ours.
The best is when they like.
I don't think I've ever beefed another team like over like a transfer target. Like
never.
Like, say if like Napoli's going for someone, and then like he ends up signing with Real Madrid. You think I'm gonna beef Real Madrid? Like, oh, Real Madrid fucking stole like this player. Oh, that player wanted to go to Real Madrid, or
who cares?
period.
Whoever gets him, gets him. Who cares?
So many players that the same thing is linked with every year, and sometimes we sign them, sometimes they sign them, and it's never like, you know, it's never like a thing like between fan bases.
Yeah.
Whatever. It seems like Arsenal fans don't really have that much to celebrate, and they want to celebrate the little things.
You know? And the funny thing is, they talk like, oh, it's like they won like a trophy. If Napoli had more money or were willing to use the money that Arsenal gets every year because of the Premier League rights and like the every cup they have, Napoli would have had half their signings.
Like, oh, definitely.
Like, it's just because Arsenal, they have like a probably best rights for the Premier League. They get more money, I think, than second place in Serie A for finishing like eighth. They don't even make Europa League, and they get more money than us because of the FA Cup, this, that. Like, don't they? Like, I don't know if Arsenal fans realize that their league is well sponsored by a lot of companies and a lot. Like, I think a billion people watch the Premier League a year. You think a billion people watch Serie A a year? We'll be lucky to get like 600 million or something.
Like, yeah.
I just think it's stupid.
I hate like searching up Napoli, and then I gotta see all of these Arsenal fans like, oh, like, yep. if Gabriel goes to Napoli, he has no admission. It's like, what? Like, what has your team done? Like,
The best is when Gabriel comes to Napoli. Oh yeah, but you guys lost Koulibaly. Oh, he's gonna flop. But if he goes to Arsenal, oh my god, he's the next Maldini, he's the next this, he's the next that. Shut up.
And that's the kicker right now. It's either we get Gabriel or we keep Koulibaly. So either way,
it's a win-win.
We're going to bat an eye. Like, I'm going to give a shit. Like, it's either you get a great young prospect of a defender or you keep one of the best defenders in the world. So it's like a win-win in my eyes, no? Like,
yeah, you know what? You know I think too? You know what's going to make me laugh? If Koulibaly goes to City, we get Gabriel and we get Papadopoulos just to shove it to Arsenal right there.
That'd be pretty funny. Honestly, I don't
know. You know what? I'd rather keep Maximovic than Papadopoulos. So, to be fair.
Maximovic is a solid defender, man.
I would sell Maximovic and buy Gabriel.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Why do we have to sell Koulibaly? Like, why can't we just sell Maximovic? You're telling me some team wouldn't pay 5 million euros?
You think Leo would do a swap deal? Say say you do Maximovic plus like maybe 15 million for Gabriel.
Maybe.
Because that would kind of equal his value. Because I think Maximovic might go for like 15 and Gabriel's 25.
I don't see why not. But the thing is, like, we have one of the best books in Europe. Our finances are phenomenal. We don't have any debts. We made so much money this year that I can't even count it.
We made more money than Atalanta.
Even off the Mercato, even though we just made our most expensive signing, even though we spent, we broke the record, and even last year we made a 50 million euro signing.
Yeah, exactly.
We still made money this Mercato.
We hosed Parma for who? Sepe,
Inglese, and
Grassi. And Grassi.
That was like
32 million.
32 million. And we got 24 million from Torino for Verdi.
Yeah, so right there, that's already, what I say, 32,
24, 56. Plus, Unas might go for maybe 8 to 10. Okay. Unas might go for 8 to 10. Maybe Unas 10 to, maybe 10 to 15.
We might use Unas in the Boga deal if that happens.
Sure. I take that in the heartbeat.
Alan for 35 is another.
Yeah.
Maybe 35.
Right? I was seeing that Atletico wanted to pay 40, but he doesn't want to go to Atletico.
But didn't they include Herrera in that deal too?
Yeah. I went,
that's not bad.
That's our best deal, like, that's right there. That's not
bad at all.
It's an amazing deal. It's just, I don't think Alan wants to go, but maybe Atletico could convince him. Simeone could convince him.
I think the problem with Alan, he wants to just because of Ancelotti. That's why I think it's Ancelotti. He's like a big factor.
He wants to go with Ancelotti, but didn't all these guys do a mutiny like against Ancelotti? Like,
yes, they did.
How does that make any sense? There was all of this mutiny, but yet Alan apparently wants to go to Everton, even though he was one of the guys who started the mutiny. And Lozano wants to go to Everton as well, even though Ancelotti
killed him.
His growth with Napoli because he played him out of position.
Yeah.
And then he parked him pretty much. So
I don't know. With Alan, maybe it's because he can fit in the Everton system and he thinks he can get playing time out in the Prem. Maybe that's why he wants to go. I really couldn't tell you. Like
maybe it's because there's like I think he wants to be close to like I know this kind of sounds stupid, but Everton do have a lot of Brazilians. And there's also a lot of Brazilians who play in the Prem. Okay. So I think maybe he wants to be closer to, like, his Brazilian teammates than there is in La Liga. Like, I'm just assuming. Because Everton, there's Richarlison, who's Brazilian, and Bernard, who's Brazilian.
Yeah, I guess. It could be a possibility, too. I honestly couldn't tell you, but wherever he goes,
We're getting money.
We'll take whatever, right? Plus, Milik was another transfer. What do you see? Maybe 40?
I heard top? 40 million. There's one that Juve might pay 40 million for him. I think 25 or 30 plus a player. But then Roma said 20, I think 20 or 25 plus Under for Milik. But no. I don't think Milik said no. He doesn't want to go to Roma. He wants to go to Juve.
Good. I don't want Under either. I'd much rather get the money out of him.
I'd much rather play Lozano and Politano.
Exactly. I'd much rather sell Milik and buy Boga. That's the ideal.
Yeah, that's it. You can have Lozano for the left side and then Boga for the right side. Like,
exactly.
You know, Lozano, Insigne one side, Politano, Boga other side.
Or even, like I saw, like the only player I would take, say if Napoli, but I think Napoli want full cash, you don't want no player, would probably be Pellegrini because we do need a left back.
Yeah.
Come on,
Reguilón.
Pardon? Right back?
Reguilón.
Yeah, left back from Real Madrid.
Yeah, Reguilón. I think the word is, this is all Italian media speculations, that Napoli are willing to do a full deal, but they want to do a loan, and then after the loan, dish out the $25 million.
Loan with obligation.
Honestly, just buy it.
Napoli
does this because they try not to spend all of their money in the summer and they try to like prolong it as they make. Just to balance the book, so to speak. But that type of player, like you don't want to have a loan spell and then you know make him
Madrid buy him back or something like. Yeah, something
he seems like he's gonna be really good. Like he's playing really well for Sevilla. He's young. You need a left back. You need some competition on that left side for Mario Rui. Then it's for me it's a no brainer. Just buy him like it's 20 million.
Like, well, that's nothing. 20 million for Napoli is like I know it's not like it's a little bit of money, but we got Laboca for 20 million. We got like Ruiz I think for 25-30 million. Like you need guys like that. Like you need guys like Reguilón who you know that can be a star in the future. Could be a fixture for us
We got to turn over the cycle now. Like we have to start. And
it's not like, they want 40, 35, 40 million. 25 million, De Laurentiis usually spends that on players that are shit. Fucking Pavlovic went for like 28 million or 30 million. You can't spend 25 on a left back who we dearly need.
We have the money.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's a great price.
Like, literally, all I gotta say is Papo Gachesord. Like, we just pay the 25. Exactly. It's not a problem.
He tries to get a deal. He's shopping at the flea market.
Yeah, it's like penny pinching for no reason.
But if a team wants 50 million euros for a player, he'll go in with like
35
bonuses, but on a loan.
Yeah. Well,
come on, dude.
Danny and I were talking one day, and like, Danny said it the best. He said, Napoli likes to. He likes to buy the diamonds in the rough.
He likes to buy low
and sell high. Make them as much money as possible.
Yeah, you want them to go up in value.
He wants to make as much profit as possible because it goes back to him, right?
Well, he has been. Look, Napoli's got no debt. Like, the team's value for what we've spent, even this last cycle of players, is amazing. Even this summer, we don't even have to sell our big players. We could sell X, X, and Y, like smaller players that we bought years ago, but they've went up in value and still make money. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
tell the guys that don't want to be here. That's it. I think that's what Napoli will do. Or sell the guys that don't want to be here and you don't see in part of your future.
Sell the guys who don't play. Like,
yeah,
right? If he's not in your plans, he's going to get a pretty penny. He's actually a pretty decent player. Yunes is a good player. Hasn't fit in for whatever reason. You probably will make a profit on him.
Yeah.
Who else?
Gula. Probably Gula.
Yeah.
Whoever doesn't want to be here, you sell. Like, you don't want players that don't want to play for your team.
Yeah. Also, what we're doing is we're signing depth players too. Like, we're signing, not only are we signing depth players, we're signing promising depth players. That's a dangerous combination. Having a starting lineup and then having depth players that are going to be just as good or already are just as good as a starting lineup. Yeah. So basically fielding two teams. Doesn't matter what. You can field two teams, one maybe just as good as the other.
And that's why I don't mind, like, say if Napoli, like, say they sign Reguilon, but then they have that young left back from Poland who apparently is our plan B. Because he's 19 years old, there's so much you can do with him.
Yeah. That's, oh my God, what's his name?
Karbinik or something?
Yeah.
Karbinik or something?
Something like that. I have it marked down here. Let me find that.
All I know is one thing I know about him, which I love to hear. The guy can play left back, midfield, and he's got the passing ability as like a midfielder, as a left back. So that's good. So that's really good to hear.
Are we gonna try to sign like the guy from Atalanta, the right back?
Hattabor. Yeah, that's what I saw too. Like, I was very intrigued. I think that's a bad signing, in my opinion.
Really?
I think so because he's a starter, right? And there's no way you're going to play him left back. There's no way because it's going to be like a huge size situation when he plays left back. He's going to be off balance. He's not going to be the same as...
I thought you were signing him as a right back and then you would get rid of Hisai. But you also... Napoli has Malcuit too.
Yeah.
So like Napoli's got... they're just going to... They haven't really sold anyone yet. So I'm kind of like interested to see like when this fire sale is going to start because... We have surplus in a lot of areas, and if we're trying to sign these players, we're trying to sign, then like you know that the outbound has to start happening. But I'm interested to see when the sales happening.
I saw Napoli to say they could potentially put Malqui in the Boga deal, just to add a little bit more value. Maybe do a 2-for-1, say maybe 25 plus Unas and Malqui. For Boga, and then say if they sell Husai to Torino, I saw that they could go after Farioni from Verona, which I wouldn't be mad again because in my opinion, I know like he's one of the most underrated right backs in Italy, and he's been having a really good season for Verona as well.
I'm gonna be honest with you, man. Like all these potential signings that we're talking about, and like just the way that. We are fantasizing this mercato to go. It's like a win-win no matter which way you cut it for us.
Yeah.
It really,
the only loss won't might like suffers from Koulibaly if we sell Koulibaly.
If we sell Koulibaly, but you know, nobody's going to pay the 80, 90 million. I think he's worth that much, maybe even a little bit more. But I'm going to be conservative and say at least 85. Mm-hmm. Right? I think he's worth that much. Hell, if Harry Maguire is worth £80 million, and we all saw what he did yesterday on that masterclass defending, then Koulibaly is at least 85.
Exactly. I agree.
But I feel like people are forgetting that Napoli's also signed Rahmani.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Who I think is going to be a good center back as well.
And you know what, too? He could play left back.
Very well.
Oh, he can?
Yeah. Usually he defends on the left side of the back three, but at times he can look at it like a left back.
That's okay. That's already another option. Everything that we're mentioning right now, it seems like a win-win. Doesn't matter what we do. It's like we're going to come out a stronger team at the end of it. And that's what I'm most excited for.
Yeah, I agree. I think this summer could be one to like look out for. Because it's going to be interesting to see who's going to come in and who's going to go. You never know because there's a lot of speculations too that Napoli could sell one of their goalies as well. So there's a lot to like look for into this summer transfer.
Very interesting summer. That being said, what are realistic expectations for this team? Say if it does pan out that we do get the targets that we want, what would you be happy with at the end of next season? Like, what's your realistic expectation?
So the way I think the summit could go, I think as a Napoli fan, especially because Juve, they're going to be a new team. I think next year it's Scudetto or maybe a top two finish for us. I'll be happy with a top two, maybe top three finish, depending, like say if the season doesn't go our way. I think a top three finish could be in the sights for Napoli. I think even next year too, Europa League, I think we can potentially make the semifinals or finals. And I think we'll win both the domestic Italy double with the Coppa Italia and the Super Cup. I think this year coming up could be a special one if everything pans out the way it could for Napoli.
Yeah. There's so many variables that you have to take into account. New players coming in, learning Reno's system in a very short period of time. You know, people are going to be adapting. Like Osimhen, for example, he's going to have to adapt to the Italian way of playing and Serie A style of calcio. But like, if everyone puts their head down and we make the right signings, we get to work and hit the ground running off the start and not be like how we were this past season, where we looked lackluster and very underwhelming. I think I don't want to say Scudetto. I don't want to put that hope for myself out there. Top three for sure. But I think if we win at least one trophy next year, no matter what it is, that being Scudetto, Coppa Italia, or Europa League, I think we'd have a very successful season, and that's going to set us up for future seasons to come.
Yep, I agree. I think next year, one trophy, I think I'll be happy with.
Yeah.
I definitely will be happy with one trophy.
That's all. Like, even if it's, I'm not going to say Supercoppa, but if it's Coppa Italia, I'll take 100%. If it's Scudetto, I'm flying to Italy and partying with them.
If we win the Europa League, I'll be in Napoli celebrating.
Let's mark this down right now. And whoever's listening, if you made it this far, if you're listening right now and you're supporting, if you're a supporter of Napoli Club Toronto, even if you aren't, if Napoli are on the verge of winning a Scudetto, we will organize a pilgrimage to the city.
100%.
Having said, it's written in stone now.
It's in stone. I am going to say my predictions here, or what I think. I am thinking that Napoli is going to compete for the Scudetto. Whether they win it or not, I don't know. I am, as an expectation, I'm hoping for a top four finish, so Champions League finish. I think that Napoli is going to win two trophies next year, in my opinion. I don't know why, but I think that next season we're going to win more than one trophy. I think we're going to win the Supercoppa, and then one of the three other competitions that we're going to be in, we'll win one of those competitions. I don't want to say Scudetto or bust, but a Scudetto would be nice. But because I do see that Juve are going to be in kind of like a transitioning state with Pirlo. But that being said, Inter looks legit, and Inter might, you know, and then you got Milan, you know, building good, and Atalanta building good. So it's going to be very competitive. So a top four finish would be good. The Europa League is winnable, to be honest. Like,
I mean, look at Inter today.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I would try in the Europa League. Like, I feel like Napoli's been in it so many times that they could have maybe won it. It's just they never really tried to win it. So maybe it would be nice to try for a European trophy. But that being said, we do have a lot of new signings, and sometimes it takes time for new signings and to mesh well with each other. So top four in the Serie A, retaining the Coppa Italia, making it to at least the semifinals of the Europa League, and winning the Super Cup, and I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Something along those lines would make
two trophies there.
But you know, like
two realistic trophies.
Like I said, like there's so many variables that have to be taken into account. It's kind of hard. It's hard to predict, and especially like if we're going with the season. Right, if we're looking at just Serie A alone, we have Juve, who, for reasons unknown, signed Pirlo to be their first team manager, who does not even have a license yet.
I know why.
Why?
Because it's the cheapest option.
Yeah.
They cannot afford to sign a more qualified option, especially an option that they... is not part of their vision. Like, they don't really have like a coach on the market that fits their vision for the team. So I feel like Pirlo is almost like a, you know, see what he could do, see if maybe it would be like a Zidane kind of thing. But Zidane coached before he coached Real Madrid. So
yeah, he was coaching their youth team, so he knew a lot of the youth players growing, coming in, like Hakimi.
I think that I don't know.
I think it's going to bite them.
I think just because Pirlo was the cheaper option. Like, they could have probably got Pochettino, but Pochettino, you would have to pay him, what, 10 million euros a season?
I think they offer, I think this is just a rumor, 17 million that Juve offered.
I doubt it. I don't think Juve's hard for cash right now, it seems like. Like, with the Ronaldo, having to pay Ronaldo and everything like that. And then the COVID thing, like, they're pretty stretched right now, so that's why I think that next season Serie A, like if I'm Napoli, like you gotta make these signs.
Yeah.
You gotta try. And you'll know by the first few months if Napoli's still in it, still in the hunt, like, because the beginning of the season is gonna be maybe where our toughest patch will be, because you're integrating a lot of new players into the squad.
Mm-hmm.
If they're still in it, the winter transfer market, like, just, you got to go Scudetto or bust, man. You know, screw everything else, in my opinion, anyways. But yeah.
It'd be nice to win the Europa League, though. Like, I know, like, a lot of people, it's not as big as it once was. But I think anytime you could win a Europa League, I don't know, it's just my opinion. I think it's, especially for Napoli, it's kind of like winning, like, a Champions League or something. Because it might not happen all the time, say, if we even get to the finals.
It's still a European trophy, and... Yeah.
Well, we get into the Champions League and get money from
up, and you get into the Champions League and you get prize money. Like, you know, winning these competitions is money. Like,
so yeah,
going far in these competitions is money. Like, Napoli made 60 million euros off of just the Champions
League. Oh my God, I forgot about that. We even have 60 million euros from Champions League.
Get into the round of 16.
I think, I don't know if, I don't know if this is true, but one person said on Twitter that Napoli, I think, made more money than Atalanta in Champions League.
They must
have. We're playing in our stadium too.
Yeah.
And then also, Atalanta lost 3 games in the group stage. So you also make money based off of if you tie, if you win in the group stage. Like,
Napoli haven't, I don't think they haven't lost in Champions League since, besides Barca, they only lost 2 games in the last 2 Champions Leagues. Napoli.
Unreal.
Napoli's been doing very, you know, Napoli's like, has the longest active, like, consecutive seasons in Europe, like amongst every single Italian team. So Napoli's been making, like, you make money off these competitions, being part of them, winning games.
Yeah.
You know, then your coefficient ranking, but coefficients, I don't know how much, you know, they're worth, but you get prize money for wins in UEFA competitions. So Napoli made quite a bit of money in the Champions League. Obviously, you make less money in the Europa League, but you still make money qualifying for Europa League. You make money winning Europa League games, so.
But even if you win Europa League, man, like, look at Inter. Inter, if they, I feel like they are gonna win. Let's just put that out there.
I think Sevilla has what it takes.
Strong in the Europa League.
I know, but I don't know. Regardless, I have a feeling that if Inter wins, it's a very successful season for them, and Europa League is not a competition that should just be disregarded because it's a lesser Champions League. It's still a European title.
Oh, yeah.
You're still a champion of Europe. There's only two teams in Europe that won, and you're one of them.
Like, yeah, and then you get to play the European Super Cup. That's another trophy.
Exactly.
And you get – it's an easy ticket. Not an easy ticket, but it's an easier ticket into Champions League, say, than worrying about finishing fourth.
Yeah.
Like going back to, like, Serrano's point, if Napoli are not close to Scudetto, in my opinion, I think just – and they're still in Europa League, go all in for Europa League. Got to focus – like, you bring home the – where the money – the most money is coming from.
I would love to see a different trophy. Other than, you know, the Coppa Italia and the Super Coppa Italia. I want to see a Europa League. I want to see a Scudetto.
Yeah, that's what I think.
This is a dilemma for me because I don't know what I'd rather see more, a Scudetto or a Europa League.
Scudetto, 100%.
I'm leaning towards Scudetto too because 100%. I want to see that at least once in my lifetime.
100%.
I'm leaning towards that too because, like, we can...
I wonder what pays more money.
I think Scudetto. I can search it up right now. Actually, hold on.
I can say Scudetto. I think Scudetto, but barely.
All right. So, prize money. Juventus made. Where is it?
I think they made 100 mil. Maybe
it is. Yeah, 100 million. You're right.
Yeah.
The Scudetto.
Yeah.
We beat the Coppa Italia is like what, 20 million, 25 million?
Yeah, 25 million. I think it's a little more now because Coca-Cola sponsors it.
Napoli made money off of winning the Coppa Italia too.
So. I think Coppa Italia this year was 30 or 35. I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure this year was a little bit more because of the sponsor.
De Laurentiis talking about, oh, like, we don't have money because we didn't make the Champions League. Sorry, sir. Like, you made 60 million off Champions League. You made this much money off of Coppa Italia plus whatever else you make money off of, and then players we're gonna sell. Like, you can spend money, like, and we have no debt. Like,
yeah,
you can spend. Like, come on,
Europa League. Spend,
I would love to see just him say fuck it and just like go all in.
Oh my god, you make more than Scudetto, by the way.
Yeah, right. It's
only £13 million.
No way.
How much?
£13 million prize money total.
Or
Europa.
£13 million,
yes.
That's it.
That's what I'm seeing here. Well, let me find
but also, like, every round that you win, you win money
too. Yeah, let me find another source just to verify that. But I saw
there's no way £13 million. I'm pretty sure Europe, because Champions League, I think maybe Champions League could be less.
All right, so winners, just the finals, 8 million, 8.5 million euros.
Oh my god!
Semifinals,
yeah, every win that you do, it's more. Like,
I know.
But, okay, so the competition winners with are 8.5 million euros, and group stage participation, you get 3 million euros, and each win in the group stage gets you €500,000 euros. So
yeah.
Out the competition, you probably would make, like, say if you win all, like, what? How many group stage games you play? Like, six?
Yeah. Three.
No. How many?
So it's three. Six. Because it's 64 teams.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. So say six. That's 3 million euros right there.
If you win
games. Then, well, let's see.
Because then there's the round of 32.
And if win the group, it's €1 million euros.
So you can, yeah. There's money.
Okay, but that's not far off from the £13 million. It's about the same.
Yeah.
The total. So yeah, £13 million. Which, let me do the conversion right now.
That's crazy.
Well, I mean, you also make money off of your stadium having fans.
Yeah. I think, you know what, though? I think you make less because there's a lot more teams.
That's about 14 million euros.
There's 64 teams in the Europa League. So I think that's why it's a little less than, say, Champions League. Plus, Champions League's well-sponsored by, like, all these other, like, brands and stuff.
Yeah, and Champions League, you know, it brings in more revenue, too.
Let's be real. If there wasn't a pandemic, I think I would, like, who would really watch the Europa League finals besides the fans? of like their teams.
True.
I mean, I would.
I watch.
I always watch it because it's always like a week before Champions League, and it gets me like hyped for the finals. But I wouldn't go out, like, say if it wasn't on TV, I wouldn't go out of my way to watch it.
I mean, I watch it anyways. So that's because I just like soccer. So
yeah,
that's just me though.
But I'll watch it this year because there's an Italian team in it.
Yeah. I don't know. But like compared to Champions League, you win 80 million
in
Champions League. That's a big difference. But that's because of sponsor money and all that too. But regardless of the money, just winning a European title
to me
is a marker of a successful season. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like if Inter wins this title, I can't say anything bad about them because first of all, they did well in the Campionato. They only lost by 1 point. I can relate. And plus they're on the verge of being a European winner. So, you know,
for the first time
in 10 years. 10 years.
Since 2010.
Yeah.
Was it 2010 or 2012? It was that year. Yeah.
That was a crazy year.
Yeah, when they won the treble, 2010.
Yeah. Mourinho.
Yeah, so
they beat Pep Guardiola's Barcelona, man. That was, you know, that's no coffee. In Barca. Like,
yeah.
In
Barcelona, like. Yeah. Well, Barcelona ever since then has not had a great track record, especially in that last match versus Bayern.
I mean, they did win. They won 2015. Was that the only time that they won after?
I think so.
Yeah, 2015 against Juve.
But like they blew a 3-goal lead against Roma. They blew another one against Liverpool. They got absolutely thrashed. Thrashed. Yes. When I was watching that Bayern game, I could not believe what I was witnessing. That Bayern Munich team is gonna win the next 5 Champions Leagues. That they are just so good. They're just so good. And they don't even have Leroy Sané yet.
And the scary part is, when I saw it was 3-1, I go, what the hell is this? The Napoli versus Barca game?
they are unbelievable. And I'm so glad we didn't make it through.
Well, okay, I have a question. What would be the score if it was Napoli-Bayern?
Honestly, I'll say it right now.
I think it would have been closer.
I think it would have been like 6-1, 5-1.
No.
Yeah.
You know what? Like, call me crazy. I think Napoli would have hung in there.
I don't know, man.
We would have lost. I don't think we would have lost 8-2. I think we would have done. I think we would have been defensive.
You know what? I think, you know what? Call me crazy. I think we would have lost maybe like 4-2.
No, I don't know, man.
I think we would have lost like 4-2 or something.
I don't know.
And I said, like, this is like I'm not throwing shots at Barca because they got good players all around. They're in a fucked up situation right now between Setien, their owner, whatever. It's just everyone's fighting each other in the locker room's presence. It's like the way Napoli were before we sacked Ancelotti. That's where Barcelona were in.
Yeah.
And I think Messi, I don't care what anyone says, he's the best player in the world for a reason, because he could take over a game like this. And if you shut down Messi, which Alphonso Davies did, shout out to him. That guy's an incredible left back as well. Pocketed him.
Best left back in the world right now.
No.
I think you shut down Messi, you shut down the core of their team. It's like Iron Man when you take out that light in the middle. He's just useless. It's like superheroes without their powers. That's what Messi is. And I think if Napoli, the way Napoli play, I think they're better if Gattuso would have them ready for this game. And the defense would have been a lot better than Barcelona was. And Barcelona looked like they were just out to lunch, playing FIFA on easy. That's what Bayern Munich looked like. And
I feel like we would have had a better structure. Like, we would have been structured
better. And we would have took advantage, in my opinion. I don't think Bayern Munich's defense is actually that good. With their center backs, I'm saying. Their right back, Kimmich is a good right back. Davies is probably the best in the world, maybe. Him and Robinson up there. And I just don't like their center backs. I don't like Boateng, and I don't like Alba. And I think Napoli could have took advantage at that at those on those center backs. And I think they would have hung in there. They would have played defensively better. They would probably counterattack, which if you can counter properly, like Lyon showed against City, you can score on anyone. So I think Napoli would have played that type of style because of the attack and the class of Bayern, how they have class players at every position. And I think it would have been a closer game, maybe like a 4-2 Bayern win, maybe 3-2, 3-1. I don't think we would have got blown out.
We would have lost that, but we probably, I don't think we would have lost to that. I don't think we would have had that scoreline.
See, no. What I'm thinking of is like you still have to mark Müller and Lewandowski. That's not an easy task.
No.
Like, it's probably I wouldn't say just as difficult as marking Messi, but it's up there.
I think it's harder to mark Messi than
I agree.
Like Lewandowski and Müller because Messi's quick too with the ball. Lewandowski, he's just a finisher. Like he doesn't create plays. That's what Müller's for.
But that's what I'm saying. Müller knows how to find space. That he literally calls himself the run doubter, meaning that he the interpreter of space. He knows where to be all the time. He's always in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, I think the only problem we would have had was the speed on, like, say, Gnabry, on Davies. Just the speed of those guys could probably hurt us more than say anything.
I don't know, man.
So, who do you guys think is going to win the Champions League?
I think Bayern.
Bayern.
Not because of what they did to Barca. That just put the icing on the cake for me. I just think heading into the Champions League, I always said that Barca, I would have Barca because of Messi and the players that they have. I would always say Barca, Madrid, Bayern, and City were the four favorites for me. And I think since all the favorites, if you do, what's it called, elimination, Bayern's the only favorite I have left. And I think they have the best team out of all the four teams left. I think they have the best team on paper, and just the way they've been playing, they have like the best team.
Yeah. I think that they're playing the best, and as a team, like they play the best, and it's probably their competition to lose at this point.
Yeah.
But I think the best team, like on paper in the competition, is PSG, and I think PSG is going to win the Champions League. Put that on writing right now. I think PSG is going to win the Champions League.
I think it'll be a Bayern PSG final. I think Bayern have what it takes.
Final, and I think PSG is going to get it done in the final.
I think. I'm with Danny. I think Bayern is going to win the Champions League because, like I said, they're such a strong team in all positions. They play well together.
But I think
Leipzig's going to edge out PSG, and it's going to be a Bayern-Leipzig final.
Wow.
Yeah. Ooh. I think Leipzig is going to come out.
They have an amazing coach, Leipzig.
They got an amazing core. They got, like, young talent that's...
I think that Neymar is gonna finally get to that final, that Champions League final. I think Neymar.
Oh yeah, I think so too.
I don't know, man. I always, but that's just me. I like the under
Neymar and Mbappe. I think like they if they get to the Champions League final, they're gonna be the difference makers. I think
the only reason why I don't want PSG to win, I want them to not win without Cavani. If Cavani was there, maybe because I love Cavani. I have nothing against him. And I would love to see him lift the Champions League because I know that's one trophy he wants to win. But without him, I don't think PSG I don't think they should win it because of like Cavani. I think if Cavani was there, maybe I would want them to win, but I want Bayern to win because of it's and it's good too. It's good for German soccer as well. They haven't won anything since their last final, I think, in 2011 or 2012. Maybe 2013 against Dortmund.
Yeah, I can't remember when that was either.
Listen, PSG is gonna win the Champions League.
I don't know, man. I'm calling Bayern Leipzig. Okay, but how about Europa? Who do you have in Europa now?
I got Sevilla.
Sevilla.
I have Sevilla.
All right, Serrano.
Sevilla.
All right, why are you guys picking Sevilla?
Yeah, Sevilla. They win always the Europa League. That's their competition.
You know, by the way, my pick is Sevilla too. But I feel like Inter's going to win. Just putting that out there. But let me hear your thoughts.
Yeah, there's no hate. I don't have any hatred towards Inter just against Sevilla. I just think Sevilla has what it takes. And if you look at Inter's road to the finals, who did they play? They played Shakhtar. Easy win. Who did they play? Who was their game before? Was it Getafe?
Yeah, Getafe.
Okay, it's easier than say what Sevilla had to play. Sevilla had to play Wolves. They had to play Roma. I can't remember the other team that they played, but they had to play some tough teams. I don't think Inter, besides Leverkusen, Inter hasn't really played a tough team in Europa League. And I think that could come into effect because Inter are used to playing against weaker opponents. But now Sevilla is kind of on their level. And I think that Sevilla could cause them trouble. I really like the way Ocampos plays. I think he's going to cause Inter backline havoc. I think the speed of Reguilon and his ability to pass the ball to find open players in the box is going to cause havoc too. And it's going to sound funny, but Benega too, he was, for me, one of the man of the match against the team that they just played. Oh my God, I can't remember now. Man United. He was really good because he started dropping back. Like, one thing that we want Demi to do, drop back, pick out his teammates on the wing or in the middle, and just make smart passing. And I think Sevilla, the way that they play, I like the way that they play. They got a really good style. And I think that could cause Inter problems.
Yeah, they're more battle tested than Inter, in my opinion. They win this competition all the time, like it's like their competition. So I'm gonna go with the team that's more battle tested. It's nothing personal. It's just Sevilla the Europa League. That's their competition.
I agree with Serrano. It's like they've been there before. They know what to do, and I think they're just gonna get it done.
It's gonna be a close game. I think Inter is gonna give them a game. But in the end, I think Sevilla is gonna win.
Yeah, me too. I just like the way their teams play too, like their team structured as well. They got their center backs are good too. We've got Conde and Diego Carlos.
Mm-hmm.
Like their backline is really good.
Then next week, we'll be in full mercato mode.
Yeah.
No other competition going on. When does Serie A kick off? Serie A kicks off middle of September?
September 19th, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But Napoli, they have preseason. Napoli have preseason coming up, I think, on the 24th.
I'm surprised. They're not in Di Maro. They're,
Carpi. Or Pescara. They're Pescara this year.
They are, Castel di Sangro, which is,
In Avellino.
No. It's Abruzzo.
Oh, it's Abruzzo.
Yeah, Abruzzo. And they're actually allowing, I'm getting this off of SSC Napoli News on Twitter. They're allowing 1,000 fans to watch their training sessions and preseason matches. So that's kind of hopeful for the next season. Hopefully, we get some fans back to the stadium.
Who knows if that's going to hold up
season?
Huh?
You think the stadiums are going to be open? Maybe
not a chance.
Capacity or whatever?
Not a chance. I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No. Because have you seen Italy now?
Yeah, Italy, cases are coming back up.
They did well for a while, and ever since they started
opening back up.
Huh?
Now they've been ignoring it. They've been acting like everything's normal.
Well, yeah, that's because right now it's Ferragosto, so everyone's going out to the beaches, the nightclubs, so on and so forth. And it's basically creating a cesspool for this virus to spread again, right? Pretty soon, everything's going to go back to phase one. And I honestly wouldn't be surprised if that happens here too.
Here, I think people maybe follow
Well, I think more, here it's more more contained.
In Italy, life, everything's more looser. But then when shit gets real, then they follow the rules. But everybody's hugging and kissing and,
Listen, there's stupid people everywhere, man. You can't guarantee that everyone's going to follow the rules.
But Italians are
they're more careless. Lax. Yeah, they're more careless. Careless. Carefree is probably the best
word. Yeah. What's the word? Lackadaisical?
Lackadaisical? Yeah. Is that the right word to use? Maybe. I don't know, but yeah, it's just the culture of Italy there, especially during, like I said, during this period. It's a very important period because Ferragosto, this is when everyone takes their vacation time, goes out with their family.
For walks and shit.
Yeah.
The Italians, and you know how Italians are, we're very social.
Exactly. Culture.
We love to be huggy and, you know, kiss, mwah, goodbye, hello.
Yeah.
Kiss. So we're like, no wonder we had this outbreak so bad in Italy. Like, literally how we salute each other is by, you kiss anybody on the cheek that you just met. Like,
Yeah.
The kiss like death.
Not only that, like, plus in Italy, everyone lives in close quarters, and most of our culture is based off socializing, like the piazza, the bar, everything, right? It's all the stadiums, going to the soccer games. It's mostly all of that is based off interacting with other people and socializing. So I think, I don't know, man. It's
beautiful in any other time other than a pandemic. It's a very beautiful way to live.
Exactly. But in terms of sports, you can't have stadiums open. I don't know.
I don't think even like Napoli's preseason, they said there's no fans watching the games. I think they might implement no fans even when like Napoli trains. Maybe a few. Because this is before it got worse. So like
if it plateaus again, like by the start of the season, I could see maybe them going with a, you know. Like, say Napoli has, the San Paolo fits 45,000, maybe you have capacity maximum of 20,000.
No, I think so, a little too much. Maybe
then,
maybe like 10 to 5, I was thinking.
No, that's too little, man. But like, you spread out, people spread out, and then you just put maybe mandatory mask inside a stadium.
I think Napoli get 20,000 even on like non-pandemic.
Sometimes. Napoli gets 20,000 against like Brescia, like against like shit teams.
Yeah.
Usually I don't know. We get like 30, 25, 30.
It'll be interesting to see what they do.
I think that they're gonna do that because they need some more revenue. Like they're missing money. But we'll see.
But you make money off of television promotion and things like DAZN and stuff like that. Anyway, true. So
and then you can, there's more space for advertising in the seats or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's where they make most of their money anyways, but I'm sure, you know, stadium tickets helps too. And you know, I'm gonna like, you know, try to buy a jersey, like, I don't know.
By the way, when are those coming out?
I was just gonna say, mark the days between the 24th, when they get to maybe the 26th to 29th, I'd say mark those days down, because those could be the days that Napoli's kits get leaked.
I wonder how they're going to look.
I'm surprised they haven't been leaked yet, because usually like manufacturers will bring up their catalogs like a month before the jersey gets
released. Hopefully they're good this year.
Actually, you know what? I like the ones this year, especially like the Champions League one, the all white.
Yeah.
A solid jersey. I kind of like that one.
In the Napoli store online, this year's jersey is they have it on 50% off, which.
Oh, they do? Too bad I don't fit in it, so I'm not.
I think it's like 44 euros or something.
Oh, wow.
You can get the replica, the official replica ones too, if you just want a shirt.
Yeah.
Those ones are pretty nice. I think they're like 20 something.
Yeah. I regret getting mine so early, because I got mine maybe the day that they got announced and they went on the store. I got it and I spent like over 200 like Canadian dollars just for everything. The jersey and shipping.
That was like me the morning after they won the Coppa Italia and they dropped the
shirts.
I want to buy the jersey because it's like 50% off, like whatever, like. But I don't know what to buy. I think I was gonna buy the white, the third kit this year.
The green one?
No, the white one.
Oh, the white one, yeah.
That's a really nice kit.
Or just like, cause I have a blue one already. Like, I don't have like really a white Napoli jersey. Cause like I always get jerseys, but
you know what you really have?
The colors.
The black one that you have is really nice.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah,
that
black one is beautiful. Yeah.
That was the one they were at the
'16, 2017.
I just remember seeing his goal wearing that jersey. It was so nice.
Oh yeah, against Real Madrid. Yeah.
That was it. Like 45 yards out. Wow.
Well, I like to buy things like when they're on sale. Like,
yeah.
Like the new Napoli jersey. Okay, if it's nice, oh, it's nice. Okay. Then next year, before they come up with the next one, I'll buy the jersey when it's on sale. You know. So I still buy the official, you know, stuff, you know, supporting the team, but, you know, on sale.
Yeah, if it's on sale, at that point, you just get, like, a player, like, you, like, that doesn't play, just as a joke. Like, my buddy went to Veld last year, and he sent me a video of a guy wearing a Husai jersey.
Of course. Must be Albanian.
I didn't even know they printed Husai jerseys in Napoli.
Bro, I don't know if you guys saw on the Coppa Italia.
I thought Napoli he Husai was the only guy that had a Husai jersey. It's probably that guy I've held.
This one was the best one. When Napoli won the Coppa Italia, this guy was walking around. I'm not even bullshitting with you. I think if I find the video after the podcast, I'll send it to you guys, with a Carnesis jersey.
No way.
I'm not even bullshitting with you.
I refuse to believe that.
Okay, I'll try to find it now.
Carnesis jersey.
Yes, they did. I have to find it.
That's crazy.
I mean, like,
it was.
I'll buy the jersey mainly because I'm. I wanted to start this jersey collection thing where I buy jerseys from a couple teams from each division around the world. So like right now, I have the Ajax one. But I wear that one all the time and it's beaten to shit. So I gotta buy a new one, which I think I was just about to order. I was gonna order it yesterday. That and the Frankfurt one. I'm starting this jersey collection thing. So like, that's the only reason why I'd buy Napoli jerseys. I don't fit in them. They're made way too tight, and it doesn't fit me properly. Which is why I kind of wish they moved to Adidas. So that they have jerseys that can fit me and I can wear.
But dude, I hoard Napoli jerseys, man. I have so many from like my whole life.
Oh, maybe it's, indication.
I have so much Napoli shit, man. It's crazy.
Oh, my room is it's littered with Napoli memorabilia.
I would like Napoli. I like, honestly, I like Kappa jerseys. I like the way Kappa jerseys look, but obviously, an Adidas, like, it would be more easier to get Napoli jerseys, maybe a more cheaper.
I think it'd be more expensive.
Really?
Yeah.
What, Kappa? Or?
No, Adidas. My Ajax jersey costs $115.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was not cheap. Then again, it's Ajax, and not many people are buying Ajax jerseys outside of Amsterdam. So,
and yeah, I think Adidas is big in like Amsterdam.
Yeah, it's huge. It's they have a big presence in Amsterdam. But like, that's just one jersey, right? Like, I couldn't tell you about other jerseys. I saw a Barca jersey. Like Nike sells them at $110 Canadian.
Wow.
Wow, that's crazy.
I mean, like, that's a price range you're looking at for authentic jerseys.
Jerseys nowadays are just so crazy, bro.
Oh, don't even get me started with hockey jerseys.
Oh, hockey ones. Yeah. Hockey jerseys are overpriced.
I just have a Matthews jersey. That's it. I just bought a Matthews jersey, and that's it. I bought it like 2 years ago, and that's going to be my jersey for like... Before that, I had like a Ty Domi jersey for like 15 years. This Matthews jersey is my Leaf jersey for the next 15 years. I do not buy hockey. I refuse to buy a hockey jersey like every fucking year. It's just impossible. Like they're like $200 or some shit like that. It's like retarded.
Yeah, fuck that. That's way too much. But we went down this little rabbit hole, and we are at officially an hour and 15 minutes into this.
Yeah, this one long. We just kind of like outside tracked it.
Yeah, I know. We got the last 15 minutes we're talking about jerseys. But, you know, it is what it is.
That's how this goes. We just shoot the shit. That's it. This is a shoot the shit podcast.
Yeah, that's literally. I don't like the, like you said, the question answer thing. But But we'll get into that, like why we did it this way in another podcast. But having said that, Danny, thanks, buddy, for coming on. It's a pleasure
talking to you guys. Yeah, thank you guys for having me on. It's an honor being here.
Come on. You'll probably be on a few other, you know, episodes.
Yeah. Danny, and you guys... Oh, you guys will definitely be on ours again. When you guys came on, it was just, I don't know, for me, I kind of felt weird doing like an interview style because like I know you guys personally. So for me, it was kind of like weird doing it. But next time we come on, you guys come on, we'll chill. We'll just, again, like this, just talk normal, talk like we're not recording an interview, but like as boys, as friends, as Napoli supporters. It'll be fun.
For sure. Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to that. Having said that, everyone make sure to go follow Six Side Calcio. They have a Twitter and an Instagram page, which I'm pretty sure the at is just their name.
Six Side Calcio.
Yeah, it's the letters, the letter six, the number six. I'm tired right now. Side Calcio, both on Twitter and Instagram. And they also have a YouTube page in which you can watch some of their podcasts. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.